great series we have been in. This Rings, Kings, and Things, these life-changing wisdom that we get from these kings and these prophets. It's been incredible. And all the kings we've talked about, we talked about a lot of things. I still have visions of the ring and that one king's nose. That was traumatic. Just a lot that we have talked about. And I am so excited today because today we're going to talk about some things. One thing particularly, roots. I want you to get that word, that imagery in your mind, roots. But we're also going to introduce a prophet. And this is a prophet near and dear to my heart. His story has changed my life, and I pray it will change yours. I was privileged to share this message at our women's retreat this past spring, and I have been dying to bring this to the church, and this was the perfect time. And so I want to introduce you to a prophet, and his name is Hosea. He may be a lesser known prophet to many of us, but Hosea's story is very real, and it's very true, and it's very, very tragic. But what's interesting about his story is that when we read it, understand it is the story of Hosea, but it's the story of you and me. And it's ultimately the story of God and how he feels about us. Now, you have to understand, definition of a prophet. A prophet is a person who has been appointed by God to hear God and give the message to the people. So this is a person who hears the voice, the message of God, and then he goes and does what God tells him to do and shares that message with the people. And so here we have this man, and what's amazing is that it's not just his story, it's actually in the context of a love story. And it's perhaps one of the greatest love stories in all of the Bible, except for the love story of God with us. But this love story is beautiful and tragic all at one time. And the love of his life, her name is Gomer. And both Hosea and Gomer have some deep roots. We find that Hosea is deeply rooted in his relationship with God. And Gomer has roots too, but they're rooted in all the wrong places. So we're going to pick up in the book of Hosea, and we're going to go to the very last chapter, and I urge you to read this whole book. I mean, go home this week. It's a quick read, but it is powerful, their story, and it is your story. But I'm not giving it all away at the top, but I want to read this passage and what it is. You see, these people, the people of Israel, they were running far from God. They were worshiping everything but God. They worshiped their little idols, calling them Baal, little G fake gods. And their lives were self-destructing, as our lives do when we worship anything but the one who made us and loves us. And so their lives were self-destructing, and God gives them a promise through Hosea in this passage. So let's read it. Hosea 14, starting in verse 5. This was their hope. This is your hope, my hope. God says, I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. When you see the word Israel, understand he was talking to specific people at that time, the Israelite people. They were his people set apart. But also understand that he is talking to you and to me because today he has you. He is calling you to be set apart as his son and as his daughter. So when you see Israel, you might as well put your name in it. It's powerful. I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots, roots, deep into the soil, like the cedars in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. So here we have these two people, Hosea and Gomer, and we're going to talk about their deep roots, and we're going to look at their lives later on in our message. But before we talk about their roots, I want to talk about your roots, our roots. Because roots are a big deal when it comes to our lives. Ephesians 3:16 makes it clear. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he, God, will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. When God uses imagery, it's for a purpose. Roots. Roots. When I think about roots, I think about how it's interesting that most roots are below the surface. We tend to not see them. And when I think about roots, I think about my yard. I don't know, maybe in your front yard, backyard, you may have a tree or two. Or maybe you have some vines or some bushes. There is one tree in our front yard where the roots have started to kind of come up from the soil. Have you seen that? Where it starts to poke up out of the ground. Well, we had a couple of crepe myrtles on the side of our garage, and I love crepe myrtles. I think they're beautiful flowers. But beside those crepe myrtles, we had some oleanders. And I want to go ahead and say I'm not a tree expert, but oleanders, you cannot get rid of them hardly if you want to. They flourish, those things. I mean, we would cut them back, and they would grow bigger. And then someone spoke into it and said, you know, they are so big, somebody came out and they said, it's possible that the roots could begin to damage the foundation of your home because it's right up against the house. And every time we back up our car, I mean, the leaves, the limbs would scrape our car. We were like, okay, we're done with the oleanders. We're done here. So we bring someone out, and they chop them down, and then they put some poison in that soil. Sure enough, those oleanders did not come back. But not long after, I looked at my crepe myrtle, and I'm like, what's wrong? Not that I talked to my plants, but if I did, I was like, what, have you gone through something? I mean, you're not half the person that you were before. What is losing leaves, losing flowers? And you can see in the background, you can see my other tree, if I've got a picture of it up here. You can see the roots of the oleander coming up through the soil. And then there was a tree in the background that was flourishing. My crepe myrtle's flourishing. But my poor little tree next to the oleander roots started to look really sad. And I thought, wow, that poison hopped over, got into, was wrapped around somehow with those oleander roots under the ground, and my plant got sick. We still don't know the verdict. That's still not quite where it was. The power of roots and what gets into them. Roots. Well, the Bible talks about roots, so I studied up a little bit. I wanted to know more about this imagery God is using. And one of the things I learned about roots is that roots are the lifeline to a tree. The lifeline to a tree or to a plant. And there's four functions that I found of a root. First function that I found is that a root sinks into the soil and absorbs nutrients, pulls out water to sustain the tree. And it even goes so far to say that roots act like straws, and so it sucks those nutrients into the tree. Another function of the roots in that tree's existence is that it anchors the tree. It gives it support. So as those roots grow and the tree grows, the roots can bear the weight of the tree, of the branches. Or when that storm hits and the force of those winds come, that tree is anchored secure with those roots in that soil. Another function is that roots store excess. They store up excess nutrients. So that means when the drought comes, when there is no rain, when nutrients are running low, there's an excess that it can pull from. And then finally, the fourth thing is that roots reproduce. Roots reproduce themselves. They compete even with other plants. And what struck me as I was taking in this imagery, and God continues to use it, talking about my life, is that the reality for you and for me is that if my life is a tree, then the root system is my heart. If my life is a tree, my heart is the roots. Think about it. In fact, in Psalms, it's all throughout Scripture. The Bible says that God's word, that when you look at creation, it shouts of the Creator. And so God can point to his creation of roots, and he can point to you who he created. Think about it. My heart sinks into soil and tries to, like a straw, suck the nutrients out that I need. I need nutrients. I need to be watered. My soul, I need as a person to be filled. So depending on what soil I plant my roots in, that's where I go to suck out my needs being met. Or maybe in my life, I need an anchor. I can't exist in this life without an anchor. And so I will go to whatever soil I sink my roots into, hoping this will bring me stability. This will bring me security when the storm comes. This can bear the weight of my life. And then third, depending on where you went for number one, we've all had those times when we had to pull from the reserves. The hard time comes, the drought hits my life, and I'm having to pull from somewhere. Only problem is, if I've been rooted in soil that doesn't have much to offer, I'm already barely getting by. What happens when the hard place hits? And then fourth, my life, my heart, it's never contained. Your life is never just about you. Who we are, who you are, will overflow into the lives of others, and it will reproduce something. What kind of person am I going to be Well, I'll tell you, it has a lot to do with my roots and where I'm planted. God has a word for us. He wants to heal us and help us. And all throughout the Bible, God is making this analogy of tree and roots, asking the question, are you a healthy tree? Are you a sick tree? Are you a blessed tree, a cursed tree, a living tree, or a dying tree? And I would ask you and me today, what kind of tree are you? Is your life today thriving? Or do you feel more like that crepe myrtle? Like something's just not right. Something has gone wrong. Psalm 92:12. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Anybody need to grow strong today? If you've ever been on your way to East Texas, you know, it's interesting how certain geographic areas have specific vegetation. One of the ways that you know you're hitting East Texas is what? The big, giant pine trees. They are special. They are beautiful. Well, in the Bible, over 70 times, God mentions this tree, which is the cedars of Lebanon. Over 70 times. When he mentions it over 70 times, when he repeats himself, I think, okay, he's trying to tell me something. And that was a tree that's specific to that region to this day. So the Israelite people, when they heard cedars of Lebanon, they immediately had an image in their mind. I love this picture. This giant, magnificent tree on the side of a cliff thriving. If that is not a picture that God is painting of how he wants our lives to thrive, no matter what you're up against, majestic, beautiful, strong, God says, this is my heart for you. I want you to thrive in your life. So how do I know? How do I know if my roots are healthy or if they're sick? Well, God gives us direction, thankfully, because God, I believe, is telling us that we're going to know the condition of our roots by the condition of our fruits. You and I will know the condition of our roots by the condition of our fruits. Matthew 7, verse 20. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. God is helping us prayerfully to have discernment that we can't see what's going on under the surface. That's honestly God territory and in between that person and him. But we can begin to see fruit, and it's good to have discernment with one another. Now, the problem is when it comes to one another, we tend to not just have discernment. We tend to like to have judgment. You got some nasty fruit. Why don't you take you and your fruit on out of here, away from me and my fruit, because my fruit looks great. I mean, I'm really pleased with my fruit. This is what we tend to do. And what I would tell us today is check your fruit first. Check your fruit. I believe one of the healthiest places for a follower of Jesus is when we are so self-aware through the Holy Spirit of God that we see our fruit, good, bad, and ugly. Lord, show me where I've gotten sick. Show me in an area of my tree that is just not well. God, reveal to me, show me. That is the healthiest place that we can be, and I believe that's on the road to health and to thriving. Check your own fruit. We're about to read several passages, and I want you to hang with me because they're power-packed full to help us as we understand, God, you know, am I a healthy tree? And what is the fruit? It's the way that we act. It's the things that we say. Philippians 1:11. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, fruit, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all fruit, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I love these passages for a couple of reasons. One is that I don't have to rely on all my effort. Did you hear what that verse just said, both of them? That Jesus produces. It's fruit of the salvation through Jesus. That the Holy Spirit of God produces all of this great fruit. So that tells me stay close. Stay close to my God. Every day, keep me close. And the other thing that's very helpful is that in my life, there's a grid. I can honestly look pretty quick and I can say, hey, was I just showing peace to my little cutie pie child a minute ago? Was I just showing gentleness? Or was I a little rough around the edges when my husband and I had that talk? You begin to go and say, was that love? Is that joy in my life? Is that patience? Where am I, Lord? Help me have the fruit of your spirit. And he backs it up in that passage to show us the opposite. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. I am done talking about sin right now, so I'll let you have some more later. I mean, that was a long list, and God's like, there's a lot more, but we'll just start there. We've got to look at these places in our lives and have the honest heart that says, God, what fruit is growing on my tree? In Luke 6:44, a tree is identified by its fruit. Over and over again, God is saying the same thing. We need to catch it. We need to catch it. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Those are heavy words. And what you and I have to first understand is that we are all sick. I am a sick tree. And in that passage, we live in a culture where that word evil, we really reserve it for just a few people. I mean, maybe every now and then, be like, girl, that girl's evil. Or, you know, we reserve it. But what God is saying is, it's an either or. And the only way I'm made healthy, the only way I am made good is not by myself, not through my goodness. It is through the goodness of Jesus Christ in my life. He makes me well. He makes me good. Because you see, my natural inclination is to be rooted in the wrong soil. I am drawn by my desires to root in the wrong soil. And I'll take really good things and I'll let them go bad because I'm going to them for the wrong things. Let me give a couple examples. There's a million we could choose from, but a few that came to my mind. Success. Success is a great thing. We love to win. I believe He is a winning God. And I believe God created us to work hard, to do our jobs, and to do this life with excellence. But what happens when we get rooted in success? All of a sudden, how I perform or my label begins to define me. Or maybe the benefits that come with my position begin to define my happiness and well-being and if I'm being nourished deep within. And all of a sudden, we have become rooted in something that was a good thing, but now I've gone to it in the wrong way. And what happens when the label's gone? What happens when I have the hashtag mom fail moment as a mom, as a dad, as an employee, as an employer, as a business? What happens? Where do I turn? God says that's not the place to set down your roots. It's a great gift and a great goal, but it's not your roots. Sometimes, and this was very common, every single one of us have this temptation. Sometimes we'll set our roots down into people. You are my source. I will go to this relationship to fill me up on the inside. If you love me, then I'm going to be okay. If you approve of me, then things are going to go well. Or I begin to set my roots down into gifts God gives me, my family, my spouse, and I begin to disregard the one who gave me those gifts in the first place. And at some point, you're going to disappoint me, and I'm going to need something from you, and you can't give it to me. I'm going to try to, like a straw, those roots, try to suck it out of you. Maybe you can fill me up. But you can't. And then I'm disappointed or I'm devastated and I begin to resent you and maybe even eventually hate you. But you were never created to fill me up like that in the first place. People are great, but they are not the soil to root our lives in. Maybe physical health. Who wants to be healthy? I think it's a good goal. Physical health is a great goal. Physical health is something that we should be thinking about. And God gives us a passage talking about exercise, talking about well-being. And I wish he had not put this in here. I'm going to be honest. It makes me kind of sad. 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is good. Why did he have to say it? But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. God's saying exercise is good, okay? Good. It's something that we should be doing, thinking about these physical bodies and taking care of this temple God gave to us. But he wants to make things clear that while things like that, physical exercise is good, that spiritual discipline of daily seeking after our relationship with Christ is better. Don't sacrifice the better on the altar of the good. All throughout our lives, Lord, keep first things first. It doesn't have to be either or. It just needs to be in its right place. God, show us these things. Let them sink deep into our hearts, because I promise you, roots are always growing, and when they're not, they're dying, and you want roots that are growing in a healthy direction, not in a sick direction. What is it that you desire? Those desires like success, physical health, great relationships, so many more, those desires are not bad. I'm convinced that most of the desires of our heart are good. I believe they're even God-given. But it's what we do with those desires that breaks bad. I want to show us something that comes right out of James chapter 1. This will help you in your life if you will get this inside of you. James chapter 1, God wants to help us out. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, fruit on your tree. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. There is a progression, and what you desire most, you will seek first. I want to show something that I hope will help you. This is something that I've had the privilege to use as a tool in counseling, working with wonderful people in hard places, and this helps me, because what we're about to look at is the stuff under the surface. When it comes to those roots in our lives, I believe that what's going on inside your heart, it's subconscious at best. And all out, you don't even know it's there at worst. Yet, it's growing things on your tree. It's growing things in your life. And so I want to show you how it might play out. And we're going to start with a heart's desire. And I want to go ahead and say that my family members are incredible artists, but I am not one of them. And so just hang on to that. But I could choose so many desires right now, but I'm going to choose one specific. And I do believe this applies to every person in this place. I believe that all of us, when it comes to relationships, we desire faithfulness. Faithfulness. It could be our friend. It could be our family member. It could be our daughter. It could be our son. It could be our mom, our dad. It could be our spouse. It could be the people at our job. But we desire faithfulness in our relationships. Be faithful to me. Be faithful. And so here we are in the tree of our life. And yes, this is going to be a tree. Oh dear, that was the wrong way. Okay, and I'm not super gifted in technology, so that this all works really well right now. Okay, so this, as you can see, is an amazing tree. And on this amazing tree, fruit grows. And so here you are at the tree of your life, and you're in relationship with this person. You fill in the blank of who they are. And one day, a horrible thing happens. Because one day that person betrays you. This person that you love, this person that you trust, this person where it was supposed to be beautiful and it looks like a wreck. And they have betrayed you and you are heartbroken. And the fruit on your tree in that moment is pain, hurt. And I'm making this fruit red because I really believe that that pain and that hurt is by no means necessarily sick fruit. In this life, there are going to be moments when you're going along and something's going to happen and something's going to be broken and it's going to hurt. But what happens next is everything. How we respond in this moment will point to what has been growing underneath the surface of our lives all along. Because here's what this can pretty well look like for many of us, is that I have been betrayed by you. You have turned on me, and I didn't deserve it. It was wrong, and I am so hurt. I am hurt, and you hurt me. And if I'm being honest, I want you to hurt. I want you to feel what you have caused me. And we begin to nurse a heart of hate. And the fruit on our tree keeps growing, and anger begins to boil and then begins to produce the fruit of rage. Maybe underneath the surface, we think, if I forgive you, I'm saying that it's okay. And it's not okay. And so I will not forgive. And now we're uncovering a root of a bitter heart. And the thing about the bitter heart, that bitter root, the Bible tells us it won't stay hidden. It's only a matter of time before that bitter heart turns into fruit. And there's bitter fruit growing on our lives, and most of the time we can't even see it. The people around us can. We can't even see it. And then that tree continues to grow. And underneath the surface, I am so hurt, and I want revenge. I want you to pay for this. I want the wrong made right, and I am going to be the judge. And I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to begin to gossip. And I'm going to begin to build my allies to take up my offense and slam your character to make myself somehow be eased from the pain. And what I've done, see, is I've entered into a position that God in the Bible says, revenge is mine, says the Lord. I alone judge righteously. And so I have placed myself as my own idol of me, essentially saying, God, move over, I am little g, God. And I don't trust. Distrust grows on my tree. I don't trust God. I don't trust people. So I begin to set up walls. No one else is going to hurt me like that again. I'm going to protect myself, self-protection. And I begin to feel so lonely. And my tree gets sadder and sadder and sadder. And God says, I don't want you to live like that. That's not the kind of fruit on your tree that's my heart for you. We need God to reroute our roots, reroute the roots of our lives, to dig into different soil. And only He is able. How, God, can I have a life that flourishes? He offers us amazing hope in Psalm 92, verse 12. He says, but the godly, that means the person who's run to Jesus, that evil person, sick tree, who runs to a great God. The godly will flourish like palm trees, grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what season of life you're in. I don't care if you believe you'll never get better. Our God says it's not too late. Today, I will transplant your life. You can flourish because of Jesus and the power He brings and the love He brings. God says they will remain vital and green. No sick fruit when they're rooted in me. How do we do this? Two huge steps, foundational. The first, ground zero, we have to be eternally rooted in Christ. This is where it starts. Every weekend, we make the plea, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? This is the beginning step. You may have come into this room today and you do not know God. You do not personally have a relationship with Him. And I think it is amazing the irony, and no irony at all, that Jesus Christ hung on a tree of death, where His hands and feet were nailed into that wood, that cross, so that you and I could have a tree of life experience. That you and I could be saved by the blood He spilled. He saved us from all of our sin. And when we trust in Him, God says there is an eternal transplant that happens. You are forever God's. You are forever His son, forever His daughter. Have you made that decision today? If you never have made that decision, you are in the right place. We are a people, not perfect, but we are pointed to the God who's helping us every single day. And we pray that you will make that decision. It is as close as a prayer away in faith. Lord, come, it says in Ephesians 3:17, when you believe Christ, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Does anybody need to be strong today? Anybody going through anything in here? I need strength in my life. And God says, when you sink your roots, when you allow your roots to grow deep down into me, I will keep you strong. My love is just that strong. And when you begin that relationship with Christ, here's the other huge factor. Please do not misunderstand that you still battle. This side of heaven, you and I still battle a sin nature. We still battle that heart that wants to go over here and plant our roots down in the wrong soil. And God says, I want to help you. You got to live daily rooted in Christ. Once you are eternally rooted, we got to live daily. And for me, sometimes it's moment by moment. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, yet again, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots, could he say it again? Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into God. Follow him every day. How do I follow you, God? I believe we follow God by obeying God. That's how you follow God. I follow you, God, by obeying. And I better know what you're saying so that I know if I'm obeying. But we've got to obey God. And I believe obedience to God is the fruit of a heart that loves him. I believe that that obedience is a fruit of love, not trying to win his approval, stay out of trouble, get what we want from our genie in the bottle. It is, God, I love you. And out of that, I'm going to follow you. John 15:9, these are Jesus' words. He knew something about this. I have loved you, Jesus said, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. When we follow God, our tree is rooted in the soil of his love, and that love spurs us on to want to live out the life that he designed for us to live. But just like my crepe myrtle, sometimes something can get into our soil, can it? Sometimes we find ourselves rooted next to the wrong thing, or maybe full on rooted in the harmful, sick thing, and we are in a sick place. Poison is no joke. I believe anytime you and I seek anything other than Jesus Christ to nourish us, sustain us, fill us, we are rooted in the wrong soil. We are rooted in an idol. Idolatry is to our lives what poison is to a tree. And all this talk about trees, roots, fruit, what is the point of it all? It is relationship. This is relational. God wants a relationship with you and with me. And we will seek that thing first that we love the most. Back to our Hosea chapter 6. Have you ever asked the question, God, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? He answers us, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. God doesn't just want you working hard. He doesn't just want your obedience first. He wants our heart. He wants me to know him. Our Creator wants to be known by you, and he wants you to know him. He knows you. He knit you together. He loves you. So how do I know if that thing that I desire has become an idol? This is a great question, and we need to be reminded of this answer. There is a filter that you can check yourself with. Are you ready? How do I know if that thing I desire, a good thing, God, you gave me that thing. That's not a bad thing. It's not bad that I want to be happy, is it? It's not bad that I want to have a great marriage. It's not bad that I desire to be loved or to be successful or to be healthy. How do I know when that good desire, that desire has become an idol? I'm willing to break God's design to get it. I'm willing, whatever the cost, I will break God's design to get it. I will sink my roots deep into that desire and disregard my God. Roots. Roots. We all have roots, and we are all rooted somewhere. Remember Jose and Gomer? They had roots, and their roots were deep. And we're going to pick up their story because I believe as we see their story, you're going to see you. I see me. And I believe God is going to meet us here. And so let's pick this up. Remember, the people of Israel running far, worshiping a lot of little g fake gods. And so God calls out Hosea, his prophet, and he says, I want you to go and deliver a message. And so here's Hosea. Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Give me the message. And so we pick it up. And what's interesting is we're picking up his story and we find out Hosea is a brand new prophet. So he's like, can you imagine? It's like your first day at work. You're like, okay, I'm all in. I'm so excited. I've been ready for this. Here we go. Hosea chapter 1. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute. This is your first day on the job. If I'm Hosea, excuse me, what? Hold on. God, I know you ask your prophets to do some pretty wild things. I mean, I've heard the stories and I, you know, but in prophet school, I did not know anyone that had to do that. Maybe I'm not hearing you because this is my first day and I've got to learn to hear you better. And so let's start over. No, God's clear. Go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. God, this is going from bad to worse. This will illustrate how Israel, put your name in that blank, how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. Hosea loved God, and he was all in with God. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. I wish I had time to read this whole book to us. But what transpires next is you see this roller coaster ride. Here is Hosea, faithful, and he obeys God, and he marries Gomer. And I believe God allowed Hosea to feel love, the love of a husband for his wife. I believe God wanted him to feel that love because he wanted him to taste, and he wanted Israel to taste the kind of love that God feels towards us. So he loved Gomer, and they got married. And the chapters that follow, you see her heart straying and wrestling. And she goes to this lover and to that lover, and she's unfaithful. And understand, this was a very public situation. Hosea had a very public position. Talk about reality TV. They didn't have TVs, but everybody's on the end of their couch. What's going to happen next? And so she is unfaithful over and over again. And it's like two railroad tracks. This is Hosea and Gomer's story. And this is God and the story of us at the exact same time. And so we see this rightful rage of a husband in Hosea chapter 2. Imagine how he felt. Verse 13. I will punish her for all those times when she burned incense to her images of Baal, when she put on her earrings and jewels and went out to look for her lovers, but forgot all about me, says the Lord. As I was reading these passages, I was like, wait a second, we're talking about God and the people. Wait, hold on, no, this is Hosea and Gomer. Who are we talking about? Yes and yes, both. God is speaking. And as I read those passages, understand, God is not unaffected by our sin. He is not removed from our sin. He is not an impersonal police officer or a person who's acting as a judge, fulfilling their job. When we break the law, they do their job. No, God is invested. He is personally invested. This is personal for him. You are so personal to him. And so you see his passion and his anger. And then he continues in the next verse, verse 14, but I love when the scripture takes a right turn at moments like this. But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Anybody in a valley of trouble today? Anybody experiencing some trouble in your life? Maybe it's of your own making. Maybe it's something that someone did to you, circumstance you couldn't control. God says, let me tell you what, I'll take your valley of trouble, and if you take my hand, I'll make your valley of trouble a gateway of hope. That's what I do. I'll make it a gateway of hope. And he goes on and says, and she will give herself to me there. God says, give yourself to me. Hosea 14:8. O Israel, O Keystone Church, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. So here's this couple on display for the world to see. And I wonder if I put myself there, because I don't want to just read their story. I want to put myself there because I'm beginning to see that their story is my story. So here's Hosea. He's a good man, loves God. God tells him to do something, and God, that sounds so, I just don't understand that. But I trust you, and so I will go, and I will do what you told me to do. I will marry this girl who's a prostitute. So he goes to Gomer, and he marries Gomer, and he enters into covenant with her, and he loves her. He loves his wife. And I try to imagine Gomer. What was Gomer thinking in all this? I mean, here she is with this past, this history. Who knows how she got there? But here comes Hosea. She knows who he is. Everybody knows who he is. Was she thinking, wow, you know what? I've never tried this before. I mean, I keep searching and looking for what's going to fill me. Maybe I'll just go against my norm here. Maybe this guy's my answer. Okay. I'll try this. I'm going to do this. I can do this. I can do this. And she marries him. And then they're married. And he's faithful. And her heart is still restless, raging with desire, wandering and seeking what's going to fill me up. So they start having babies, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, these babies don't look anything like Hosea. And there's such pain. There's such heartache. But she's sticking it out at home. She's being a mom. She's trying to be a wife. She's trying to take care of her scene. And I wonder when she got to that place where she's like, this is not me. This is not me. And I don't know what the day was when she decided I'm leaving. But Hosea comes home, and in my mind's eye, he walks into the house after work, and he hears the kids crying. Where's mommy? Mommy's gone. She's done this before. And his heart is ripped as he looks at his family. And Gomer's out of there. He believes she'll come back. And so they go to bed that night. He's sick. Wake up the next day, no Gomer. Another day goes by. Well, this is a little longer than normal. And then the days go by, and now it's week, and he realizes she's not coming back. I don't know that she's coming back. And I can't imagine the gut-wrenching experience that he was going through. But I wonder if he stopped and he cried out to God and he said, God, have I fulfilled this calling? Are you releasing me from this calling? And then the scriptures tell us that God speaks to Hosea and says, go to your wife again. Go to your wife and buy her back. And this will illustrate to my people how I feel about you. How I feel about you. So Hosea had a choice, but he was following God. So I'm sure he took care, made sure the kids were safe, and then he set out. Where is he going to find her? Everybody in that city knew the district. And those streets, those dark streets with their twisty secrets and shadows, were not the streets that a man of God, that this prophet, walks along. But he walked with every step faithful on mission. And I just think about his mind. What was he thinking? What was he was wondering. He had to be. I am going to this place for my wife. For my wife. What am I going to see? What is she going to be doing? Who's she going to be with? And so he walks. And I believe he comes maybe to a corner, that last spot, and he knows, I know what I'm about to see, this next corner, because everyone knew what was on that corner. You see, on that corner, there was a platform. And that was a platform where the human traffickers would place their sex slaves up on that platform to sell. And I wonder if he thought, am I going to see her there? Is she going to be there? And he rounds that corner, and he looks, and it's Gomer. His wife, half naked, in her shame, on the sex slave platform. And in that moment, he had a choice. And Gomer, she's been through it. What's been going on with Gomer all this time? Her heart was racing. Her heart was raging. She was running. She ran into the arms of this man. And then she ran into the arms of this man. And there were promises made in the midnight hours, but when the day came, those promises were empty. And her lovers betrayed her. They'd made a lot of plans, but the reality was they cared little and they saw her as worthless. Just sell her for a few dollars. And so here's Hosea in this moment, and I can only imagine the moment their eyes meet. Hosea had a choice. I mean, it would make sense. You hurt me. I want you to hurt Gomer. I want you to feel half of what I have felt. Have you looked into the eyes of our children? I am hurt. If I forgive you, I can't forgive you. What if he had raged into that moment and started calling her names, every name in the book, and everybody there wouldn't have faulted him for it? The words he spoke would have been true. But you see, that's not what Hosea did. Hosea, I am hurt, Gomer. You hurt me. I don't want to hurt you. Gomer, I love you. And if I forgive you, I'm not saying it's okay. There's nothing about this that's okay. But my God has forgiven me much. And I will forgive you because he's forgiven me. And revenge? Revenge is God's. And you know what, Gomer? You know what I pray for you? I pray that the same mercy that I'm asking him to give me for my sin, for my sick roots, my sick fruit, I'm asking that he gives you mercy too, because we have a God who is merciful. He is the judge. And all of a sudden, the fruit begins to look very different on Hosea's tree. He's going to be sad, but he's going to trust God to protect him. Instead of distrust, he's going to put his trust in God. He's not going to go on a campaign of hurt. He's going to honor, even when it's unhonorable. He may still have hurt, but he's taking that to Jesus, and he's going to trust him with it. And God is going to fill him, and he's going to believe God for his future. And so the Bible tells us he walks up to that platform, and I guess her pimp, maybe that pimp is standing there. This is my wife. I don't care who she is, you have to pay for her. Okay? And so he buys her. And he takes the hand of his wife and he walks her home, not as a slave, but as his bride. And he honors her. Can you imagine? Gomer, God can change our family tree. Gomer, God can rescue this. Gomer, take my hand. And I say to you with all certainty that that God offers your hand, because I am Gomer. You are Gomer. And Jesus says, I paid for you. Let me walk you home. Will you bow your heads with me? God is moving in your heart right now. I believe that there are people in here right now where God is speaking to you very personally. And I pray you're receiving every bit of it. I don't know what platform of slavery you're standing on, and I don't know what got you there. I don't know where you've sunk your roots deep into the wrong soil and you feel like you're barely breathing today. Certainly not thriving, certainly not fruitful with any kind of fruit that is good. God looks at you not with a heart of condemnation, but with the heart to save, with the heart of rescue, with the heart of love. So I want to ask, with every eye closed, if that's you today, if you would say, God, I need you to reroute my roots. God, I need you. I want to take your hand off this slavery platform. I want freedom. With your eyes closed, will you just fresh lift your hands high? Fresh prayer today. Fresh moment for you today. Don't miss the blessing of this moment. Every eye closed to respect your neighbor all over this room. Lift your hands high. God, I need you to set me free. I need you to help my marriage. I need you to help my life. I can't fix this myself. All over this room. God sees you and he loves you. I'm going to pray for you, and believing the power of God is going to invade your life in this moment. And then we are going to sing over you a song of hope as we respond to our God. Oh Lord, you see every single person in this place. You know the needs deep, deep on the inside, under the surface. And I praise you that you are a God who reroutes those roots, Lord. You don't just burn them up, discard us, but you want us to thrive. And you have that passionate love for us that even when we run so far into the arms of our idols, that God, you seek us. You offer your hand. We thank you. God, help us love you back. In the name of Jesus, I pray.